بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحة وفي الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله You start off with one sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather there's four sunnahs that I mentioned inshallah. When Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam came into Medina Munawwara, then these were the advices or this was given to Sahaba radiallahu anhum and those around, that afshu salam, spread the salam, at'imu ta'am, feed people, wasilu al-arham, join family ties, wasallu an-nasu niyam, perform salah whilst people are sleeping, tadkhulu al-jannata bi salam, you will enter Jannah peacefully. So we should try and do these, inshallah. Every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we heard, is so beautiful and it takes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we become the beloved of Allah. Mawlana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullahi alayhi used to commonly say that there's one of two ways to live in this temporary world. Either a person is in the obedience of Allah or is in the disobedience of Allah. If he's in the obedience of Allah, then obviously that's going to spell success in his life. And if he's in the disobedience of Allah, then definitely that person is going to be doomed. A person cannot endeavor to go to two places at one time. He cannot be in Durban and in Cape Town at the same time. So similarly, a person cannot want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he decides to be against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has meant for him. And unfortunately, when it comes to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then unfortunately, sometimes we have forgotten what our actual objective is in the dunya. We will ask people that are non-Muslim that, you know what is your objective in the dunya? Because a person doesn't open up a business except that he needs to make a profit. No person, it would be foolish of a man to open up a business and he says, I'm opening up the business so that I can just meet the cost. And we'll say, what a foolish exercise that is. Similarly, a student or a person that is attending a madrasa or a school or whatever institution it is, that person has an objective behind it and the parents have an objective that I'm not paying so much of money so that you can just go and waste your time and while your time away. No, rather it is so that that person can get some kind of knowledge. So similarly, what is the objective of ours in this dunya? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ أَيْ لِيَعْرِفُونَنِي That I have not created jinn and insan except that they worship me, that they gain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The objective, as far as the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to fulfill the commands of Allah and know well that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants at every given moment in our life, that we need to understand that I am being monitored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the sifat of ihsan, that a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنْتَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاهُ That a person worships Allah in such a manner that my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you cannot have that feeling, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely is watching us. Obedience to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way of in lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is Hazrat Damat Barakatum said many times that the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ajmal, it's the most beautiful, it's akmal, it's the most complete, it's the most easiest to do. There's just a point that has been mentioned here with regards to an incident that happened Alhamdulillah, a few years ago, only Allah's kindness, they went to Bolivia for Taraweeh. And in Bolivia, there were many lessons that were learned. There was a certain person there because, you know, of the love of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he had in his life. And he was a very, very poor person. The average Bolivian person is absolutely poor. So in Bolivia, they don't bury. One day they said, Malana, we want to take you to the Kabristan. So I said, let's go. And anticipating to see the likes of nuclear or Avalon Kabristan, I was in total shock when I got there because it was actually mausoleums that they have. They have these concrete structures and these narrow pathways. So when a person passes away, Muslim, non-Muslim, then the person is put into the coffin. They are put into the hollow of the wall and the family has to pay rental for 8 years. Imagine if a person dies, the family still has to pay rental for that person. And when a person goes through that graveyard, you actually get the stench of dead corpses. You can pick up that and you'll find also the bones of the human remains on the floor. And that point in time, I actually cried and I made dua. I said, Allah, I know I'm a sinner, but Allah, let not our mort come here in Bolivia. gave you a nice shock, because to pass away like that, who wants to pass away like that? And you actually see the remains. So I asked him, but where? I don't know whether to read dua when entering the Qabristan or not. I don't know. So where are the Muslim graves? So then they explained. So I asked, but why is it that people are buried in this way? Why don't you bury in the ground? So they furnished two reasons. They said, number one, it's very expensive to bury in the ground because of lack of space. So this will cost the average Bolivian plus minus $5,000, which at that time in the exchange rate to the US dollar was about 10 to the US dollar. So 10 times 5,000 is a good 50,000 rand. And the Bolivian, like I said, or the average Bolivian doesn't have that type of money. So they said, we have to bury like this in the ground. We have to bury like this in the wall. Bury, that's the term that they use. So I said, okay, and why else don't you do this? So they said, because of a lack of space and because it's very, very costly. So then they gave me an incident, and they said, but Sheikh, you know, there was an incident that happened. And I said, let me hear it. So they said there was a very, very poor person. Very, very poor person. He was a Muslim man, and he always made this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, one day when I pass away, I don't want to be buried like this. Yeah? I don't want this. So it so happened, when he passed away, it happened that there was a Saudi Jamaat from Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarramah. They were doing, they had spent some time in the path of Allah there in Bolivia, and they got the news that this elderly person passed away. They don't know him. So they said, okay, let's go to the, he will have his ghusl done, and where are we going to the Qabristan? So then they gave the same reason that they gave me. So the Saudi Jamaat said, but we don't bury like this in Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. So why are you doing this? So they said, because he doesn't have any money. So each one of them took out their dollars, and they took out their riyals, and for them it was like play to just have him. And alhamdulillah, with the money, they could have him buried. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person loves the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he endeavors to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has ikhlas with regards to that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the way. How it will happen is beyond our understanding, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadir. Allah can do as He wishes. And that ayat that comes to mind is, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. If you inculcate the taqwa of Allah, what will Allah do? From the many things that Allah will do, Allah will grant a person makhraja out of every kind of difficulty. And Allah will grant a person sustenance from ways his mind will never imagine. We as humans, we will always sin, we will always, there's always a need for us to get up and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullah used to give the example, you know, if a child is walking and then this child falls into the gutter, or this water sewage or whatever it is, and this baby falls into there, well, what will the mother do? Will the mother leave that child in the gutter? No. That child will then get up, then that mother will take that child and she'll bathe that child, fragrance that child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to His servants than what a mother is to her own children. If we get up from there, and every time we make a guna, we shouldn't have the intention that next week I'll do it again. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we're planning then. That is not tawbah, that is playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, we have that intention that Allah, every time if I do slip in my life, Allah, I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep on moving. Because nafs and shaitan will keep on troubling. The nafs and shaitan will keep on troubling. That is why the avenues have been written under the context of the ayat, بَعْدَوْدَ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. That when shaitan came told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will deviate mankind from the right, from the left, from the front, from the back, he didn't mention two directions, the top and the bottom. So in this is an indication. That's again, Maulana Yunus Fatiha Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that in this is an indication that if a person wants to beat shaitan and wants anything in his life, then a person needs to lift their hands in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he who kneels down to Allah can stand up to anything. We need to put our head down in sajda. You know, the more we put our head down in sajda, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, you know, apne malik, you know, that a person needs to put his head down in Allah to sajda in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person puts his sajda, when he puts his head down in sajda, Allah will give him everything he needs. So as insan, person will become despondent as well. There's an incident mentioned of a youngster. He asked his father one day, he said, "Oh, my father, tell me, is there anything in this creation? What is the greatest creation?" So the father thought for a little while, and then he said, "I think, in my knowledge, I think that the jungles of the world are the greatest, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. It's so vast." So he said, "Oh, my father, tell me, is there anything greater than that?" He thought for a little while later, and he said, "Yes, I think when I look at it, I think actually the oceans of the world, you know, the depth and how Allah has created the different creations and how vast it is." So then again, this youngster wasn't content, and he said, "Oh, my father, tell me, is there anything, do you think there's anything greater than this?" He said, "Yes, my son, I think that the universe, the expanse of the universe is far greater, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created planets and universes that mankind doesn't even know about. There are more, from what I've heard there are more amount of stars in the sky than the collective beach particles of the world." Imagine if a person goes to Port Elizabeth, or he goes to, look at Morana and I'm saying Port Elizabeth, but I'll say if a person goes to Durban, or he goes anywhere, and he collects the beach sand and two handfuls, then he tries to count it, how is he ever going to finish it? Next year, Chalsa will come, he won't be complete. Because he'll be counting, it won't come to an end. Imagine if collective beach particles of the world, how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So he said, "Is there anything greater than this?" At that moment, the father started tearing. So the son asked the father, "Tell me, my father, did I say something wrong? What is it? Why do you tear?" So he said, "Yes, there is something that's greater than that, far greater than all these things. It is your father's sins. It is your father's guna." So he said, "Oh, my father, tell me something. Is there anything that's greater than that, than your son?" And then he, with a smile on his face, he lifted his head and he said, "Yes, there is something that's far greater than that. And that is Allah's rahmat and mercy." Allah's rahmat and mercy is so great that if a person sincerely turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one wave of Allah's rahmat and mercy can completely obliterate and diminish and get rid of every kind of sin that a person had. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those that will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our nafs and desires will always be there to try and take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut." Who is an intelligent person? Intelligent person is not the person that has acquired a lot of degrees. A degree doesn't mean a person will definitely have a job. It just means a person knows something. How many people that don't have degrees, but Allah has given them rozi so much. Allah has given them so much. An intelligent person is that person who controls his nafs. He keeps away from all the worms and the fancies. وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. And he does actions which will assist him after his demise. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْفَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ. And a foolish person is that person who follows his base desires and nafs, and then he has hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy. So many times you'll find people say, "But you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafurur rahim." A person is doing all the haram and wrong. Yes, undoubtedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafurur rahim. But then I extend the parable to you. A person plants millet, does he expect potatoes to grow? It will never happen. So if a person does haram, then definitely the jaza is going to be haram. And if he does actions which are good, then that is going to help him and repeat to himself. So as Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi has written in the Masnawi of Mawlana and Hakim Artasab rahimahullah, is written in the Masnawi of Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, concerning what is the fir'auniyat of the nafs. The nafs, it always has an inclination, it always wants more. It has this greed. It has the same temperament like Jahannam. What is the temperament of Jahannam? يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Jahannam, "Halim talati, are you full?" And Jahannam will say, "Hal min mazid, is there more?" So the nafs has the same temperament if it's not controlled. What is the temperament? A person will see all the beauties of the world, he'll see all the women, and then it will be told to him, "There's still one woman that you haven't seen." And then he will say, "I need to see that woman." So that is the temperament of people. Do not, if we do not control our nafs, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And then also to make qisas of our nafs. So under the context of the ayat, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتْوِي يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Again, Hakim Akhtasat rahimullah has written something amazing in the kitab, that, you know, what is qisas? Qisas basically means a life for a life. So if a murder, a person kills somebody, then the murderer needs to be killed. And then everybody else will have a life around because they don't have to worry that they will be murdered. So we can understand it in our country. But, you know, if a person makes qisas of his nafs, if he kills his nafs and he subdues his nafs and he subjugates his nafs and he doesn't do haram and wrong, then what will happen? There will be a ruhani life. Allah will grant a person ruhaniyat. And he will have a spiritual life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him an ecstasy that no others will understand except that person that does that. So also we should not justify our haram and wrong. A need to effect the change by means of tawbah as we sit here, as we are sitting here, each one of us, it's only Allah's kindness, Allah's rahmat and mercy. If you knew my haram and wrong, I wouldn't muster the courage to sit here in front of you. It's only Allah that has made satariyat of our haram and our wrong. So we need to sit here and we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah do not expose our sins. And when we have haram and wrong in our life, then, you know, when a person is in school, then a person, sometimes he's condoned passed. Maybe he can't get 40% and he's on sitting on 39%. Now I know in the schools also, I think 30% is a pass. And unfortunately, even people can't make 30% also. And then they're still coming out of school and with A, Allah knows best. Illa mashallah. But anyway, when a person just needs maybe 2 or 3 marks to pass, then maybe the teacher, because he liked that student, will condone pass him. We are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, we have 0. I have 0. Condone pass me. It's only Allah's rahmat and mercy that will get us into Jannatul Firdaus, and only Allah's rahmat and mercy. Life is too short. We need to, time is about to lapse. So I'm just going to go through about 2 or 3 incidents, inshallah. We know the incident of the person that killed 99 people. And 99 people he killed, and then he was still looking and he asked, he went to a monk and he asked the monk, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will Allah forgive me? So the monk told him no, and that became the 100th victim. And then he went and he was still looking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, is there any person that can help me? So he was guided to an alim. He went to the alim and he asked the alim, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? I killed 100 people. So the alim told him, yes, Allah will forgive you, on condition that you leave this place of vice, haram and wrong, and you go to a nation, to a people who are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. So the concept also of coming out of our environment of haram and wrong and sitting with the mashayikh and our pious, elders, inshallah, and then gaining from them, and our mashayikh, inshallah. So he then left the area, and as he was traveling, It happened that he came up more or less about halfway across the distance, and then the Malakul Maut came. And when the angel of death came, Malakul Maut came, and then his soul had to be taken. And now the angels of Rahmat and the angels of Adab were having this argument that the angels of Adab said he never did any good in his life. He has to go to Jahannam. And the angels of Rahmat said, but he was making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was going to make tawbah. He was making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel in the form of a human being. And the decision that was made was qisu ma bayna al-ardain. That measured the distance between the two lands. If he's closer to the land of virtue, then the angels of rahmat will be in the right. And if he's closer to the land of vice and haram, then unfortunately, then maybe Jahannam will be his abode. So it was mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the narration mentions that Allah made it, that he made it by a handstand. Another narration mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the one land go closer and the other one a bit further. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind and so merciful, we need to turn to Allah. And we know we might have heard the incident of Fudayl bin Ayaz rahmatullah alayh. Fudayl bin Ayaz rahmatullah alayh was a notorious highway robber. He was such a person, what we'll say, you know, today in South Africa, if a person says he's a hijacker or, you know, he's well known for doing this haram and wrong. So he was known for that. So people, and he was involved in this illicit affair. And one ayat of the Quran changed his entire life. So one night he was going to have an illicit affair with this woman, and he was about to scale the wall in the dead of night. And then he heard one ayat of the Quran, "Ba'da'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, alam ya'nini alladhina amanu an takhsha'a qulubuhum li dhikrillahi wa ma nazala min al-haqq." One ayat of the Quran, Surah Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, has the time not come for those who have iman? And تَخْشَأَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that their hearts become soft. تَرَقَّكَ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that their hearts become soft for the remembrance of Allah. وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, and that which has been, revealed of the truth. So then, one ayat, he introspected, he got down from the wall, he paused, and he thought to himself, and he said, yes, the time has come, and I need to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then went back and he found an empty building, or a building that was not occupied by people. He went there, desolate, not realizing that in the adjoining room there were people. So he then was spending the night there and making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he heard the people making mashwara. There was a caravan of some people. They were making mashwara that do we leave today or do we leave tomorrow morning? So the mashwara and the rai was that, you know what, Fudail bin Ayaz, the notorious highway robber, is around, you know, as they say, rubbing salt into the wound. So he moves in these areas here. And if we leave tonight, then we subject to a problem, you know, somebody might get even killed, never mind looted. So then Fudail bin Ayaz, when he heard this, he again thought and he said, Allah, have I become such a menace to the Muslimin? That Allah, my tawbah to you now is that I will reside in Makkah Mukarramah. It is mentioned that he became known as Abidul Haramain. And then read the lifestyle of Fudail bin Ayaz rahmatullahi alayh. What type of effect it had on his life. Today we read Quranic ayat. Unfortunately, I'm talking about myself. Not an ayat will change us. Not an ayat will change us. The month of Ramadan will go. Sometime we will read Taraweeh in such a manner, it has just become a ritual. That we read Quran Sharif just to get over with it. Unfortunately, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll conclude on this, inshallah, that we try, and the conditions of tawbah are three or four, depending. One is the hukukullah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are concerned, then there are three Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has written in Riyadus Salihin that there are three conditions for tawbah to be accepted. What are the three conditions? Number one, that a person needs to regret over the haram and wrong that he done in his life. So if a person has a regret, he says, Allah, I've done this haram and this wrong, and I won't do it again. Number two, that he has an intention, that he makes a resolution that, Allah, I will not do it again. I'll try my level best not to do it again. And number three, he stops and he refrains from that haram and that wrong. Unfortunately, in our life, what we do many a times, illa mashallah, a person is eating something which is mashkuk, which is doubtful. So a person is told that, you know what, rather leave it out. It's better for you when in doubt, leave it out. So the person says, I think it's more inclined maybe towards, you won't die if you don't eat it. So he says, no, it's okay. Let me just eat it. I bought it already. Let me not waste it. Na'udhu billah. So I'll eat it now and I'll make tawbah later. But we don't know when our mortal come. So we need to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because life is short. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, and spend from that which we have granted you, مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, before death come to any one of you. فَيَقُولُ, then he says, رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَى أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ, oh Allah, grant me a little bit of respite. فَأَصَّدَّقَ, so that I may give out sadaqa. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and I may be from the righteous. Allah doesn't use the word lam. Allah uses the word lan, hargiz nahi. وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا, and Allah will never grant respite to any soul, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا, not one second more, not one second less. When we have to hand in the paper, we have to hand in the paper. In our dunya, when we have to hand in the paper in any institution, then maybe we get 2 or 3 minutes extra if the teacher likes you. But ultimately, you have to give in the paper. And then you can't go back and say, I left the whole section out on faraid, I left that whole section out, or I didn't know this certain mas'ala, I now know it. Please give me the paper back, it's the time is left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants our eyes closed, that is, it's not 1 second more, not 1 second less. Let us make the best of the moments that we have that Allah has given us. Let us make tawbah to Allah, is we sit here, Allah. Let today be the turning point of our life, Allah. Whatever haram and wrong we have in our life, Allah, let us attach ourselves to the mashayikh. Allah, let us change our lives, Allah. We have much haram and wrong. Allah, you have been so kind and so merciful to cover our haram and wrong. One ustad, in conclusion to this, one ustad from Darulum Zakaria, used to mention in the class, Maulana Choksi Sap, Rahimahullah, used to mention, he used to say that when a person does something wrong, and then he is caught, then it wasn't the first time he did it. He's lying. Because he's negating the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals excessively. There's a sirah, mubalagha is used there. As-sattar. Allah doesn't just conceal, Allah conceals excessively. Allah continues to conceal how haram and wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from disgrace. It shouldn't be that we do haram and wrong, and we continue transgressing, and then humiliation comes to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly grant me the ability to practice, and grant each one of us the ability to practice what has been said. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.